sent from his throne above. He came to change his world through love. He came humbly, he came to serve. He'll come again to rule his earth. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. And hallelujah, the Lord has come. Hallelujah, the Lord has come. Emmanuel, our God is with us.
You're listening to Thursday Night Live at Calvary Chapel St. Paul. Calvary Chapel St. Paul is a fellowship of believers committed to a fourfold style of ministry. We seek to reach, teach, mend, and send. Each Thursday Night Live service involves a time of intimate worship, an in-depth study of God's Word, and a time of afterglow and leading of the Holy Spirit. And now, here is Thursday Night Live.
Hey everyone, is this, okay, I just thought I felt it fall off, but it's not. It's still on. It's still on me. All right. Very good. I was asked to teach tonight. So we'd be praying for so many people who are out sick today. we're a little lean tonight. So, yeah, we'll go ahead and do that. But we'll be in Proverbs chapter 1. So some of the people who teach children's on Sunday will know where this came from. So, what's that? It is children's on Sunday. So, well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray for those who are out and not feeling well. Lord, I pray that you just help them to recover fast and fully, Lord, that they'll be soon back in fellowship with us, and we'll be able to be blessed and bless them when they're here, Lord. I pray for us who are here, Lord, that the fingers of this flu that's going around, Lord, is it stays away from us, and we're just able to do all the things that we are wanting to do and planning to do. There's still some things coming up this weekend and next weekend and the weekend after that. And just, it's going to be a few busy weeks here coming up. So I pray, Lord, that we would all stay healthy, or able to fellowship and bless each other, Lord. I just thank you for your ever faithfulness that you give us, Lord, that you show us mercy. And I just thank you for how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, so I'm sorry about that. Okay, just leave it alone. Leave it alone. All right, let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. So this is an introduction to Proverbs. It's kind of starting off with wisdom. Whenever I think of Proverbs and wisdom, I'm always reminded of the saying that knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, right? And wisdom is knowing not to put it into a fruit salad. So that's pretty much it. It's the applied knowledge. It's knowledge applied appropriately is wisdom. And so Proverbs gives us both knowledge and wisdom, and it's reminding us continually that the start of that wisdom is starting from the fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord isn't being afraid of the Lord. It is a respect. You know, As I was teaching my kids, I teach the littles, what we call them, but the 2 to 4 year olds, actually, I got 2 to 3 year olds, and the 4 year olds got moved up into the 4 to 6 year olds. But I teach them. And so basically, I look at it as in the times when you know you did something wrong, right? And your parents are coming to spank you, right? There's that you're not afraid of them. They're not going to kill you, right? But there is that moment of honor and respect for the position that they hold, and that discipline is coming, right? And so that fear is what how I equate a lot of times to the fear of the Lord with the little ones. There are a lot more nuances to it than that, but I think overall, simplifying it down to that sometimes is always a good idea and a good plan. And that's basically what I do, is I always look at the actions that I'm doing. If I have the fear of the Lord within me, it is the thing that causes me to do things that I would not normally do. And that is the whole thing of Proverbs. And actually, we kind of get into that a little bit with Proverbs chapter 1 and some of the examples of the things it's directing and leading and leading us towards, right? Which is the fear of the Lord, respect and honor, and how that implies or creates an implication in how we act and towards each other and honoring our Lord in our activity. So let's start off in chapter 1. We'll go through the first few verses here. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. So as an introduction here to the book of Proverbs, it starts off with these first six verses talking about who's our author. You know, Solomon, the son of David, and the one who had been given a lot of wisdom. And, you know, it's interesting when you read Second Samuel going into 1 Kings, all the different things that Solomon was given, the wisdom that he was able to do. You know, one of my favorite judgments he made was the one where there was this situation where two women come to him, and one had suffocated her baby accidentally and then stole the baby from her friend and gave her baby, right? And so what ended up happening is that they were both claiming the one live one was their baby and the dead one was the other's, right? And so Solomon had to kind of come up with this, you know, a judgment, figuring out how he's going to do it. And when he did, he said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to cut the baby in half and you can both have it. And the real mother was like, no, it's her baby. And from that, Solomon knew who the real mother was and said, no, give it to her. And I'm like, that's amazing. I would have never thought about that, right? Anyway, so this is the kind of thing. I really believe that Solomon at this moment, I mean, he blows it later in his life. There's a lot of things he allows into his life. He doesn't really take his own wisdom and knowledge into his own life, but he was able to dish it out. And that wisdom, I really believe, is supernatural wisdom. It's like the strength of Samson, but just in wisdom instead, right, with Solomon. Anyway, so here we have, it's like to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, right? And the thing is that it's something that's calling the simple. So it's not something that has to be so elevated that simple people, such as you and I, can't receive it, right? It's not something that's unattainable. This wisdom is something that we can achieve, we can do. And not only that, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we also have that communion with the Lord that helps us to give us fuller understanding. You know, and that's the big thing, is that we're not left alone, and it's not something that's completely unattainable. All right, moving on. So he says, okay, that for the young man, knowledge and discretion. Verse 4, just continuing on, a wisdom. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. So all these things that like I said, this is all things that we can attain. This is things that we can achieve through the power of the Holy Spirit and the instruction that we can receive in God's word. All right. And verse 7 is kind of the foundation of all this. And that is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the thing is that the fear that, again, that honor and that respect that we put on the Lord himself, that's the thing that is important. That is the very foundation of all of our actions and direction, knowledge and wisdom that we will be applying in our lives. We apply it that way through just having that fear of the Lord and respecting his correction. So, you know, I was debating on whether I'd even bring it up, but yesterday was kind of an interesting day for me. And it was one of those things where the fear of the Lord was something that was constantly in the forefront of my mind. I wasn't going to let anything, let's just start off. It started off with the very early morning. Was it yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday, Wednesday. So it started off with the very early morning. I get up at 5:40. I go for my workout in the morning, 6:30 to 7:30. And so after that, I enter some stuff into my phone for the workout, and then I start heading home. And when I did, I hit a massive pothole, right? And what ended up happening is that I get to a light. It was in a turn, and I kind of cut in a little bit. So it was this pothole that was not in the center of the road. It was just on the very edge. And because I kind of cheated the corner and didn't see it, I hit this thing hard. And so I'm at the stoplight, and I hear a ding on my car, in the car, with the the tire pressure monitor, TPMS. And so I'm like going, what in the world? And as soon as I start driving, I know I've got a flat tire. It's like going, I could hear it. So I pull off to the side of the road, and I look, and sure enough, my passenger side front tire is like totally flat. And I'm looking at it going, okay, well, let's see if I can get this tire replaced. And so I go to look to do that. And I didn't realize that what I was looking at was covers over my lug nuts. So I was thinking it was like a little, like a hex bit I needed. So I'm trying to find something that would kind of torque it, and nothing is working. And so I end up, and this is where I shared the issue with my son later as well, because I end up giving him a call, because he usually does stuff, work on this car. And he's like going, oh, those are covers. You just pull it off, right? So I start looking for this tool, because it's not in the center console. And it ended up being in the trunk, So after a long thing, now it's been a while. I've had people come by, hey, you all right? And I'm going, yeah, I'm fine. I just got a flat tire. I got to figure out how to get this thing dealt with, right? So I get the device, and I start pulling off the plugs. And then I start looking at being able to reduce the lugs. Now at this point, I'm at a point where people have driven by enough where they've called the police. So the police are there just asking if I need any help. And I'm sitting there going, at first I wasn't sure I had all the tools. But I, at this point, just to be sure, I had asked Caleb to come with some tools so that I can work on it and make sure I can get it all dealt with, right? Well, at this moment, I realized, okay, I've got all the tools I need. So I found the hook, got the hook off, pulled that thing off, got all the lugs ready, started pulling off loosening the lugs, cranking up the car with the jack, and the jack handle just screwed right off. It just broke right off. And so it's half jacked up, but not enough for me to get the tire off. And there's nothing else I can do. So I'm going, well, fortunately, Caleb was coming. I had a nice bigger jack that I could get underneath there and really crank the thing up and stuff, right? So eventually got the tire off, the new tire back on. I'm going, okay, all right, that's it. And I was so caught up with the problem at hand, okay? Only at the very end did I realize, it's like going, if I would have just stopped for a second, just got up and looked around, I would have seen that across the street from me was a Chevy dealer. I'm like going, even though it wasn't a Chevy, I could have used the jack from there easily enough, I'm sure. There was an oil change place and a gas station behind me. I'm like going, man, I had all these resources. And had I been not fixated on the problem, the people that stopped by asking if I needed any help, I could have asked, do you have a jack? Because, you know, most cars do have jacks, and it could have worked, you know. Or if not, I would have had something where maybe we could have gone someplace and I could have gotten a jack, right? Anyway, so all this. Well, we finally got the new tire on, and I drive it to Discount Tire, which is nearby. And that's where we do all of our stuff. This is not an ad for Discount Tire, but they are really good. Okay, so I dropped the car off, and because my son made this 30-minute trip to get to me, I'm like going, well, you know what? I'm going to buy him some breakfast. So we go out to eat. And so I start sharing with him. I'm going, man, it just seems like the Lord is trying to, you know, teach me something through this. And so I wasn't all upset or anything like that. I was just like, just kind of taking things in. Well, that was just the beginning of the teachings, because what ended up happening is just as after I said that to him, I got a call from Discount Tire. And they're like, do you have the little key that goes into the special lug? I'm like going, well, that should be in the trunk, I thought. And they're like, well, okay, well, look, it wasn't in there. And I started thinking, going, did I leave it in the lug when we took off? And it spun off, and you know, now it's lost forever. And I'm like going, oh, my goodness, I bet I did. And I'm like going, oh. So we get there, sure enough. They can't find it. It's nowhere in the car. And I'm like going, it's lost. So I'm like going, all right, well, I've got a new tire. I just can't get it on the car, right? And so I decided, well, let's just take some back roads. Now, it's like 9:30, you know, and it's well into my work day and stuff like that. I already let people know that I wasn't going to be in for a while. And so I'm just driving back roads to get to the nearest Volkswagen dealer, which is on Highway 61 in Maplewood there, and Highway 61 and 36th, Schmelz Countryside Volkswagen. And so I get there, and they have a bit. But it came out of a guy's personal bit thing. So he's like going, What do you plan on doing? I'm going, well, my thought was that I just go to Discount Tire and have them change the tire. He goes, okay, have them change the tire and then have them replace all of those lugs with just regular lugs, because you don't need the security one. And I'm going, that's a good idea. He goes, and they'll do it for cheaper. And I'm going, all right, that sounds like a good deal to me, right? So I start making my way over, and I've been keeping updates with my wife, texting, letting her know what was going on. And she happened to tell me that, well, you know, our mechanic had mentioned that our front tires were getting a little bit low and they probably should get replaced. Well, the good news is that when I had it at Tires Plus, or Tires, Discount Tire, I'm sorry, Discount Tire in Stillwater, they were like, we can replace this tire for $15 because I had the road protection for the tire. So for $15, I got one tire replaced. And so I'm looking and going, well, I should just replace this other tire too. And then all four of my tires will be good. So then I go and I do that. So I go and replace all the tires, and then find out that in my rush to get the new tire on, that I cross-threaded one of the things. So we got four lugs out of five. So not bad, in there. I've got the fifth lug, and they didn't have regular lugs, but they had a new one. But it's a nice big long key thing that I have to throw on there to, you know, it's like there's no doubt of losing that. It's the other thing was just this little piece of metal, right? So now I've got this big giant thing to do that. But anyway, all that to say, in all this, I was just like, how am I gonna react? And what ended up happening is I just was worshiping the Lord, and I laughed, and I just chose to enjoy the day. It was like a break almost. It was kind of interesting, but it was kind of all foundation of just, again, you know, when I was teaching the littles, I was like, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and I'm like, when the Lord. Everything's funneling through his hands. Any trouble, any problem we're having and we're having to deal with, whether it be illness, whether it be some sort of job situation or anything like that, has not come to us by any, you know, I'm losing it here. We're losing it. Okay. There we go. Okay. So anything that's coming to us isn't coming to us just willy-nilly. There's actual purpose and it's all going through God's hand carefully. So whatever situation we're dealing with, it is something that we're dealing with by God's will and his sovereignty. So that's the one thing we got to take in mind as we continue on with Proverbs here. So going on, the fear of the Lord. So verse 8. So this is going to be, in verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. So I'm not a bling person, but I mean, I can understand that it impacts how you present yourself, right? And so in that, it changed how I presented everything that happened to me to all my coworkers. Well, my boss, his response was, that's amazing that you're responding in such a way. He goes, that's really good, you know? And others were like, they didn't say much of anything, but I know it has an impact, right? Because I also shared that I can sense, it felt like the Lord was with me the whole time. So, and that's part of how I communicate to my coworkers, and it might sometimes feel awkward to them, but I think it's, you know, a good witness and a testimony of how gracious God is, because I didn't deserve anything good, right? None of us do, but God, you know, as we're listening to the worship and how his grace poured down his face, you know, I'm like going, that's his blood. You know, the blood that he shed, that's the grace he's given us. It's the... Well, I knew I was losing it. Sorry, people. Huh? Yeah. Maybe it's too tight. Maybe that's the thing. There we go. Like that. Okay. Thanks. All right. So, yeah, it's how we react is that presentation to others. Let's move on because we got some things to cover here yet. So, my son, if sinners entice you, okay, we're going to go through 10 through 14 here. If sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive like Sheol and whole like those who go down into the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our homes with the spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us have one purse. And first, when I read this, I'm like going, okay, what kind of friends or acquaintances are you dealing with, right? Because this is pretty heavy stuff, right? But the thing is that we kind of deal with that all along. if there's people who are enticing you to cheat somewhere, to steal, I've seen those things, which we would look more as like petty things, right? Some property being stolen, how that impacts others. People will get the violation that happens when you get something stolen is very traumatizing. And the fact is that there's a lot of people who can't deal with it or deal with it very well, right? So it may not be killing anybody, but in fact, it is something that that can be very traumatizing. And so here, this is the temptation aspect of this portion of scripture, or this of chapter we're covering. It's the proposal to do something wicked, right? And there's a couple of questions that we can get from this. And that is, one, who are we hanging around with? Who are we hanging around with that would even bring this stuff to us, right? Is it something? And then why do we hang around with them is another thing, right? So, you know, granted, if there is situations where you have it at your workplace or something like that, and you're you know, the thing would be is I would say, is it a place that the Lord has you in? You have to make sure that it's a place that the Lord has you in, because if you can't bear up underneath that temptation, you need to flee from it as quick as you possibly can, right? There is no way you should remain in a situation where you can't stand your ground, all right? And the thing is that you don't want to fall into it, because the next verses that come along, verses 15 through 19, can explain the outcome if you end up doing that, if you end up going there. See, when you look at these verses aren't talking to the unsaved. It isn't talking to the people who are outside the church. It is talking to us, those who are inside the church, those who are reading these scriptures, right? Because we're wanting to gain wisdom and understanding. And for those who are not, right, they have no desire to gain wisdom and understanding. They first need to have that right relationship with God before they can learn to desire to get understanding and wisdom, right? So this is talking to us, and it's talking to us, and the severity is continuing here in verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain, it takes away the life of its owner. So the thing is that everything that happens, like it's the same equivalent of unforgiveness. When you are in an unforgiving state, not that you're receiving the forgiveness, if you're the one to give it, if you do not give it, you're the one who's suffering, not the person who has committed anything. They have their own thing, but you're suffering because of the fact that you're not willing to forgive. You're not willing to go out and release this, because there is a consequence that happens in the body physically. As I start learning more and more about the different chemical things that can happen, like stress hormones and various things like that, and how that can cause a lot of real problems down the road for health causes and health reasons. And so the thing is that to stay on the safe side of all this, this is something I go to, and I printed this out, but I recommend, if you haven't, to do that, and that is to go to the biblical decision-making approach, in the, or biblical decision-making, a suggested approach right? You find it on our webpage under the belief section. If you click on the belief section in the upper titles there, it's going to be down the list there. You'll see biblical decision making. And it's, as you can see here, it's really not that big. I mean, if it's, you got a page and a half or a little bit over half. And it has, most of the first page is a summary, which I'm actually going to read here real quick. And then we're going to cover over just, there's scriptures for these 11 points that are brought up. But the thing is I'm just going to quickly go over these 11 points and before we move on. All right. And that is this, okay? Most Christians, most of the time, do not make their decisions, great or small, in a genuinely biblical manner. If we're honest with ourselves, the decisional method most of us use is deciding or doing exactly what we want or quote-unquote feel we quote-unquote should do, and then justifying it by Christian jargon after the fact. We have, then having made up our minds, we then pray for the Lord's blessing upon what we've already been locked in or what we've already been locked in concrete to do, basically. So I'm going to get a quick drink here. So the thing is that the thing is we oftentimes, and that's the thing, okay, let's, during that day, during that morning, every decision I was making, because I've gone through this many times before, one of the key things, there's a lot of key things to go on here, and that is, you know, in regards to some scripture things, but even for the smallest things, the thing you have to be reminded of and remember is at any moment, if you sense the Lord is telling you not to do something, to not do it, right? We don't want to be, because of our feelings, locked into a position. We're going to go through it, right? We'll want to do that, right? Decisions, here in the second paragraph, decisions made on the exceedingly shaky basis of changeable feelings and or on personal experiences usually result in sorrow, disillusionment, and disappointment. And because we've used a secular, imperial, and subjective method to make decisions rather than a sacred, deductive, and objective process of intelligent thinking based upon the eternal true principles of God's word. In short, God wants us to have the mind of Christ in all decisions of consequence and learn to respect the words, the world's way, or learn to reject, in that respect, reject the world's way of thinking and acting. Then the last paragraph. This is not to condemn feelings as such, which are a God-given part of our personality, but rather to warn against the pitfalls of making decisions on the basis of feelings and emotions. Feelings were never intended by God to be the basis of making decisions to please Him. If you follow the guidance below carefully as suggested, you will note that there is a proper place for consideration of your sincere feelings. But that step should be the caboose on the train and not the engine. So that's the basic principle of all the things that are being listed here. That there's 11 points. And I said, we'll just quickly go over these points. There's scripture for every single point and more than one. So it's laid out, and I've gone through those in great detail, me personally. Because you have this here, and because I've seen it been brought up a couple times, and I just see that it is so important in our day-to-day that it is good to be familiar with this document and actually look at trying to apply it as best as you can. So the first is to acknowledge that our methods and ways will fail. God desires humanity or humility of heart concerning our own abilities. So, and he has the scriptures for that. So our methods and ways will fail, right? And we need to have humility. So the thing is that obviously we got to do something, right? So in my case here, I was like going, okay, well, what am I going to do? I have a spare on there now, and I'm going, what do I need to do? Should I go and spend more time taking back roads? Because the tire I have can only go up to 50 miles an hour. I'm going, it's probably good if I get this at least get this tire on. And I'm going, so I wasn't sure, but all along I'm just praying. I'm like, Lord, if at any moment you tell me this is not what you want for me, I will go home or I will do something else. But this is the plan, right? Because with that, I have the humility knowing that this may not be the right decision, but I'm making it right now, and I'm just going to go. And in that, I like I said, my heart just started to fill with worship, and I was just blessing the Lord the whole way. All right? Number two is acknowledge our need of Christ's authority and power in everything that is to be blessed of God. And so, and the thing is that that's exactly what was in my worship. I'm like going, you know, I am nothing. God, you are everything. And I was just giving gracious or praised thankfulness for this whole day that was going on before me. And I was just blessing him. And in praying continually and earnestly for God's direction and Christ's preeminence in all that is planned and done as you search for his will, right? And again, scriptures. So the thing is that as I was going through, I'm like, anytime, Lord, you show me something different, I'll take it. I know, all right? But right now, this is what I believe you're leading me to do, right? So carefully, number four, carefully seek to discover if any biblical principles is or are violated by this contemplated decision. So for me, that was, you know, that's pretty easy, you know, getting a tire changed. There's no biblical consequence in that. So there's going to be some of those things like that, right? Looking for special commandments that apply to contemplated decision. So to points four and five, there have been other things in my life that had definite biblical consequences. And it's a matter of always making sure that the plans that I'm doing are not in violation of God's word, right? How I deal with big financial purchases and decisions like that. It's like those decisions, they don't just affect me. They affect my whole household. They could potentially affect people here in the church, right? So the thing is that every decision you make, many of those decisions, larger ones, can affect more than just you. And you have to be aware of those things. And that's the key things that you want to be bringing out in verses 4 and 5, because without having the solid principles of God's word in making your decision, it could ill affect people around you. Seek out the counsel of godly men and women to help you with your decision-making process, as well as general advice. Okay, the thing is that in this here, it's important, godly men and women. So the thing is, you have to, one of the things I like about this church is the fact that there isn't anybody I feel like I can't come up to, right? And now I've been in this church for 29 years. I've been in this church for 29 years. And from the very beginning, I never felt intimidated to go up to Pastor Chick. I had never felt intimidated to go up to elders and deacons, or who I thought were elders and deacons, because they were people who would lead in the serving and all that stuff like that. I never felt intimidated that I couldn't go to them for anything. And that is one of the things I like about our church, is that we're like one big family, right? And we are siblings, and we have a Father in heaven. And Some of us are older, some of us are younger, and so there's some order to that. But the thing is that we can come to those, any one of us, who we feel like might be able to share God's word. Look at someone who would be able to take God's word and apply it to your decision, right? That's the person you're looking for in regards to godly men and women. Oftentimes I've seen young people, not lately, but in times past, where they weren't walking with the Lord at all. And what I found interesting is they found each other out because they weren't friends before, but they end up becoming friends because there's like that connection of shared, well, we don't care about what's going on. We don't care about God. And it seems like they seem to find each other, right? And definitely you don't want to just pick someone that you are just only comfortable with. If you can be comfortable with them, and as well as you know that they will lead you to God's word, right? Point number seven, do not undertake the decision if your conscience is troubled. Even, here's an important point, even if you don't know the reason why at the time, if this principle is violated, the end result seldom is a happy one. God uses our conscience to warn us when we do not see an issue clearly enough to make a decision on objective grounds. So the thing is that I have done that. Now, it's not like, oh, and then later on I found out why the Lord had, gave me this, this uneasy feeling. I don't know why God gave me that uneasy feeling. I just know that because of that, I didn't make that decision. I chose not to do that, not to go that way. And that's it. I will probably don't know the answer until in heaven when everything is revealed, right? And even then, I might not care, right? Because it's not a big deal. But the thing is that if your conscience is going to be violated in any way, or you're like sensing that this is not the right thing you should be doing, then don't do it, right? When in doubt, don't. I apply that rule in my life a lot, okay? Only after you completed the steps of our above, and nine here, is when you should look for any indications of God's will in circumstances, events of his providence. Most Christians make this the first and only step, which is then interpreted as in the light of the desires of the moment. And here's the thing. I have seen people make those kinds of decisions. There was a family that had come from out west somewhere, and they were coming in. They were like, oh, we believe that God had led us here and everything like that. And then only like two, 3 months later, we saw this sign. It was a billboard, and it said this, and it was, we believe it's God's will. And then they left, and they went to Iowa or something like that. And I'm like going, wow. I mean, their whole family is impacted by this decision, by seeing a billboard. When it happened, I'm like going, oh, and it was just an advertisement, It was like, but the thing is that oftentimes there's a lot of Christians who will make those kinds of things, make these big decisions, moving their whole family, doing this big thing off of these signs. And, it's like, Jesus even says, we're not to be chasing those things, right? And then 10, point 10 here is, do not make serious decisions when you're angry, fatigued, full of pride, or discouraged. Decisions so undertaken are nearly always regretted. So, and the thing is that lastly, remember that God does not, God can and does overrule even our sins and errors for good if we truly sought to serve him and obey his word throughout the process. So the thing is that there's our times too that in spite of the fact that in the end, you're like, well, that wasn't the Lord's will, because you had tried to seeking out the Lord's will. You didn't just go and do it, right? You tried seeking out the Lord's will. In the end, God sometimes can still bless it. And some people often get that confused with, well, that's what God wanted all along, right? And the thing is it's always good to know in the end, you know, to look at how things played out. And that like I said, when I was going through that whole thing at the very beginning, at the end of it, I was recounting everything and realized I fixated on the problem and I didn't look up to see everything else around. There was plenty of opportunities that the Lord had provided that I missed. And I said, after that, I realized, thank you, Lord, that you did provide those, and I'm sorry that I missed them, right? I missed them. But the thing is that I hope that I don't make that same mistake again. That's the thing, is that this is something that I was able to learn from this whole time. And on top of that, I had a blessed time. So it was ended up being a great day on Wednesday. So in spite of all the things that I went through. And the thing is that, again, when you get down to the final end, always look back and say, was there something that I missed? Was there something that I could have done different? You know, because maybe there was. Maybe there is something I missed, even in the ultimate end of good or ultimate end of bad. And I think that in this case here, it you know, it's neither here nor there. You know, there's still cost that came out of this, but I'm still blessed, and the Lord really blessed me. And I think in that, in His foreknowledge too, He was able to allow me to share that in this application of Proverbs chapter 1. So I had planned to go through the rest of it, but we have communion today. It's the first Thursday of the month. So we will end it with that and just pray. And I would say for the rest of you, if you're interested, continue reading from verse 20 to the end, because in that it's the knowing that wisdom is calling from the generic place, in the open, obvious places, right? You don't have to go searching for it in the deep woods or anything like that. It's up open on the hill. It's in the gates. Wisdom is there, and it's right here in our word. It's easy access, right? We just need to listen to it, and if we don't, there's consequences. So that's a summary of what I wanted to cover for the rest of that, right? And you can just read that on your own with that in the back of your mind. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for how good you are. Lord, I'm grateful for your mercy and your grace. I pray that you'd just continue to show us your will. As things get darker and darker in this world, we'll become more light. And I pray that we can be beacons of hope for people that need it, Lord, and a place of refuge for the weary, for the ones who've been destroyed or broken, and I pray that they could find healing here, because you can do all sorts of things, Lord. There's nothing impossible with your power, and I'm just grateful for all that you do, in Jesus' name, amen.